The Bible said in that day, every thought, God will judge every thought that you ever thought. Everything you ever said in secret, folks, in that day, God's going to judge it. You need to really think it over. We preached kind of strong this morning and a little hoarse from it, but I want to read a little bit from over the book of Matthew. I believe I read some of this the other night, but I failed to read a little of it tonight. It's in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, and it begins at the 13th verse, I believe is where I want to read. You know, you need to get away from this thing, once saved, always saved. You know, they got a little saying in the world, once in grace, always in grace. And I agree, as I've said before, that once in grace, always in grace, whether good grace or disgrace. But the thing is, this once saved, always saved, remember what I'm telling you, the Bible states very, very plainly that if a man do wickedly and turn into righteously, all of his sins shall not be remembered, no matter what he's done. In his righteousness he shall live. But if a man do righteously and then turn into wickedly, all of his righteousness shall not be remembered. In his sins he shall die. So then you can't say because you made a confession and done something right that you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. The Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It takes more than just saying, I believe. It's going to take more than that. I felt somebody that didn't sit too well with. But a brother, that's true. You can preach it like you want to. That come from a preacher. You can preach it like you want to, but I'm telling you the way the book teaches it. All right, in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, it's the 13th verse. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, you know, right here, you really don't have to say much concerning Scripture like this. It pretty well explains itself. We use the terms, you know, it's self-explanatory. It pretty well lets you know what God's talking about. Right here in the Scriptures, we are emphatically told, we see right here, Jesus himself preaching, so carefully he outlines it, that straight is the gate. And the word straight there It's used like we would use the terms a straight jacket, tight, narrow. It has to be a perfect fit. You know, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now think about that now. Straight is the gate. That means a tight way, a narrow fit. You can't have excessive weight, as we would say. Paul said, lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you and run with patience the race that is set before you. See, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. It's a narrow way. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. Very few. The Bible teaches that it's going to be a little flock. A little flock. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. The Bible tells us that we should strive, that is, make an effort. Rise up, really make an effort. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. The Bible tells us that many shall try to enter in and not be able. For once the master has risen up and shut to the door, he shall stand without and begin to knock. But the Bible tells us that God will say, I never knew you. Many people in that day that's been religious, that's supposed to have great ministry, supposed to have done great miracles and all these great things, they'll stand before God and they will say, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. Don't you remember the great ministry we had? Don't you remember that great move of God that we had for you in the earth? And we cast out devils in your name. And they'll say, Lord, don't you remember the great revivals that we had during our lifetime? How did we work these great and mighty miracles? The Bible says that God will look back at them and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. See, he doesn't say that they work miracles. He didn't say that they work miracles. He said, you work iniquity. Isn't that right? He didn't say that in their lifetime that they work great miracles. He said, ye workers of iniquity, that what you did was work iniquity, and I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You know, we're living in a day that is real deceptive. The Bible said they'll come as ravening wolves. They'll come in sheep clothing. They'll come as evangelists. They'll come saying that they are Christians. It's a terrible day that we're living in. And miracles, you'll see miracles take place. There will actually be a display of miracles. But how do you know that the devil works miracles? I didn't get very much response to that. I guess I'll have to try it again. I said, how many people realize that the devil works miracles? Oh, you say, now, Brother Pike, Satan doesn't work miracles. The Bible tells me that out of the mouth of the false prophet went three unclean spirits like unto frogs. And the Bible said they went forth into all the earth working miracles. And the Bible said the purpose of it was to gather the kings of the earth together for the great battle of Armageddon. Is that right? Now, you say, but Brother Pike, you don't believe that the devil can do any healing. The Bible says, and the deadly wound was healed. Is that right? And one of the heads was wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. Somebody would say, well, don't you believe God healed him? I know God creates the good, and God creates the evil. God has his way in both. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. I realize that. But I also know the Bible tells me that a divided kingdom cannot stand. Is that right? If you kill a devil or destroy a devil, as we say, the head was wounded to death. If you destroy a devil, put him out of commission, and God reinstates him, that's a divided kingdom. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Now, you can't kill a devil. A devil is a spirit. But you can kill the person that the devil's in and put him out of commission at that time. See, in the Old Testament, the way God done away with devils, he just had the people killed that the devils dwelled in. If there was a rebellious son that had a rebellious devil, then the dad himself had to get together. The father had to stand there and be one of the first to throw the stones to kill the boy that the devil was in. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so then we see these great miracles are supposed to take place. And that day they'll stand before God and they'll say, Lord, didn't we do this? And God, didn't we do that? Now, the Bible speaks of lying signs and wonders. There will be great signs. There will be great wonders. Lying signs and wonders in the end time. That it'll be so close, you know, that it will deceive the very elect if possible. Somebody would say, but now wait a minute, Brother Pike. The Bible said that no man can work a miracle and lightly speak evil of me. I believe that if a man works miracles, he's on God's side. But the Bible didn't say that, did it? Jesus said, no man can work a miracle in my name and lightly speak evil of me. Now then, he said, they will come in my name. They will come in my name. They will acknowledge Christ and that they'll come in his name. But the Bible spoke of devils working miracles. But they cannot work a miracle in the name of Jesus. No man can work a miracle in the name of Jesus and lightly speak evil of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You say, but Brother Pike, look at these great miracles and these great revivals across the land. Why, you can't even get some of them people to even baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I love the Lord. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, you received me not. If another had come in his own name, you received him. You come in the name of a great evangelist, is that right? A great revival, but not in the name of Jesus. Working miracles, but not in the name of Jesus, is that right? You say, but I believe they're working them in the name of Jesus. Why don't you talk to them about the name of Jesus and see how they feel about it? I know how they feel about it. So then you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? It said three unclean spirits. Is that right? Likened to frogs that went out. What is three unclean spirits? That's a trinity. How do you know that? Said it went forth into all the world. Come on now. Let's stay with the Word of God. That's what we're talking about. Is that right? Said it'd be so close it would deceive the elect if it was possible. The Bible said God is one spirit. But the Bible said these spirits went out into all the world. Now somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. No, it said all the earth. It went into all the earth. They were working miracles, brothers and sisters, in all the earth. Somebody said, well, they've never come along yet. Now, you don't believe that. I tell you what, if they haven't come along yet, they sure are running late because it looks like they're not going to get their ministry in. They've been here. You better believe that they've been here. And the Bible said in all the earth. Come on now. And in all the earth they've been working miracles. And what have they been looking for? They want the mayor to come out to their services and they'd like to have the president to speak for them. And all of the professional men of the world gather around them. The men that can afford money to bring about a charismatic order in the world. That doesn't require the walk of pureness of heart and holiness of heart. But let me tell you something, Christian friend. The Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. They went out into all the earth working miracles, but it wasn't in the name of Jesus. What was it in? Whatever name they set up for their own campaigns and whatever name they set up for their own move. But brothers and sisters, they did not lead the people to the name of Jesus. Now somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that these men don't talk about Jesus? Jesus said they would come in his name, didn't he? Didn't he say that? Sure, how could they deceive you if they didn't talk about Jesus? But beloved friend, the Bible said, doing the will of God. What is the will of God? The Word of God. And what does the Word say? The same thing that Peter said on the day of Pentecost. Come on now. When he said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Then receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? For the promises unto you and Brother Pike and all the rest that comes to Jesus Christ. I am the door, the Bible tells us. And he said, and beginning at Jerusalem, remission of sin shall be taught in my name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So then we see, there is but one name, there is but one door, there is but one Spirit of God. But the Bible said these three spirits went out. And you know what? They have the power to transform themselves into angels of light. Did you know that? Three unclean spirits, that means angels. See, fallen angels are spirits. They have the power to work miracles, and they have the power to transform themselves into ministers or angels of light. Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. What is that angel of light? Now, you heard me preach the message on the light this morning, didn't you? What is an angel of light? What is meant by an angel of light? The Word. Paul said, be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. They have the power to change their minds after going out there and feeding in the trough with the swine of this world. They have the ability and power to come back and transform their minds into a Bible scholar's mind and the Word of light, and get up and minister the Word of light. Inspire the preachers, the satanic preachers. For the Bible speaks of doctrines of devils and said the ministers of Satan. How do you know that the devil's got some ministers? That's why you need to understand the message that we preached this morning on the light. I spoke about the red dragon, and I spoke about the difference between the reflectors and the true light. And I spoke about the church world out there that has to do with Esau. And how that birth out there, that blood world, that blood life is so different from the spiritual life. And how that Satan saveth the things that be of this world. Now you can tell them by their fruits. Watch them. Everything that they preach, everything that they do, everything that they build centers around one thing. And what is that? The world and all that's in the world. What is the charismatic order of today? Let's get the banker saved, and I believe we ought to get him saved. Let's get the president saved. I believe he ought to get saved too. The Bible said to pray for the kings of the earth. Pray for the great men of the earth. Though the Bible said not very many great ones are called. But you pray for them anyway. The Bible said salvation is sent to the poor because the rich won't have it. They've got their consolation. Isn't that right? But nevertheless, pray for them and take the gospel to them. Isn't that what Jesus said? Every creature must hear the gospel. But what is the theme today of the gospel? When they go out there in the world, look at the charismatic order. What do? They go out there and their theme is to live it up in the world. Get the movie stars into it. Get all the professional men into it. And what do they want to do? Let's praise the Lord, somebody says. Hallelujah, somebody says. Glory to God, let's pray for our football team and God will give us the best. I don't mean this wrong, but just like a great Pentecostal preacher that went Methodist not too long ago. And this is no shame to the Methodists. There's some good Holy Ghost filled Methodist people. But when Methodists, what does he do anymore? Does he testify about the great miraculous of God? No, but he can tell you about the score of the basketball game. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about the truth now. The Bible said the truth will make you free. All of this thing that's gone out into the world is to work people together in a great Antichrist order to bring them together, to make them to desire the things of this world because Satan savors the things that be of this world. And the Bible teaches that the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't in you. There's two different loves there. You've got a love for the world, you don't have a love for the Father. If you've got a love for God, the Holy Ghost things of God, brothers and sisters, you don't have a love for this world. The Bible said, lest any man hate his own life, hate this life, hate the way of the flesh, all of the evil doings of the flesh. You cannot be my disciple. See, there's two worlds. One is the blood life, one is the spirit life. There's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit, the inner man and the outer man. One of them's got to die. One of them has to die. Esau and Jacob, they're wrestling with each other. See, there's a warfare. Which one will you go to? Which one will you give in to? If you lean to your own understanding, then you're Esau. If you lean to the mind of Christ, then you're Jacob. If you're Jacob, then you got the birthright. If you're Esau, then you sold out for a mess of pottage. made your belly your God. Isn't that right? You know, down the belly, if you get a good look at it, it's coiled up down there. It's just that big serpent down there. That's all it is. Look at that big intestine sometime down there, and the coil of guts that's on the inside of you. That don't sound too good, but that's the way it is. You look at it on the inside, it's all coiled up down there. And that big old coil is just laying there with its mouth open for you to make your belly your God. The Bible said they make their belly their God because all of their labors for their belly, because their belly craves it of them. And he just poured it into the belly, and the belly's just grabbing it. The old serpent's just grabbing it. Isn't that right? Somebody said, my lands, Brother Pike, couldn't you be a little more polished than that? Well, I guess I could. Maybe we'll approach it from another side. Jesus said in his preaching that the dog goes back to his vomit and the sow to her wallowing in the mire. I don't know if that sounds any better or not, but anyway, that's approaching it from another angle. So we see that we've got to live right. We've got to be holy. We can't just do any way we want to. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Oh, friend, let me tell you something. You say, but Brother Pike, I can't see where it's necessary to do all them things. But the Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. And speaking revelation-wise, just a little bit. Now this morning we got into a little bit of revelation. Speaking spiritually for just a little bit. Remember, in the beginning was God. God was the Word, the spiritual light. And the only way that I can see God, God is a spirit. The only way I can see him is through the eyes of my understanding. Paul saw the Jews going through all of their ritualistic slaying beasts, doing all the ritualistic withdrawing from the world, everything. Paul said that's not good enough. They went through all their church ritualistics, but he said that isn't sufficient. Paul said God is a spirit. Hallelujah. Said you need an experience with God. God is a spirit. And you got to get God on the inside of you. And he said, this God who is a spirit, he took me up into the third heaven. I looked around. I saw something I'd never seen before. I can't tell whether I was in my body or out of my body. I don't know what happened to me, Paul said. What was it? From glory to glory, from revelation to revelation. From the beautiful expose of the mind of God from one part to another part. Comprehending the heights, Paul said, the depths and the widths and the length. Comprehending the great things of God through the mind of Jesus Christ. God is the great light. No man has seen him at any time. He is the great light into which no man can approach. Jesus the Christ dwelling in that light. He alone dwells in that light. No man can approach unto it. No man has seen the Father at any time, but Jesus Christ, who is in the bosom of God. The Bible said he hath declared the Father. So then God is a declaration. God is a spirit. God is a revelation. God is that great word of understanding. In the beginning was the Word, the Spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit. God was the Word in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. What kind of Word? God is the Spirit, Word of life. For my words are spirit and life. The pure in heart shall comprehend. The pure in heart shall absorb. The pure in heart shall see. But the wicked shall not see when good comes. Therefore, being transformed from dimension to dimension, moving from one power to another power, moving, as we say, going on up into the great things of God. Oh, hallelujah. That makes me feel so good. I just don't know how to contain myself when I get to talking about that. Such a wonderful thing in God. You know, Einstein was brilliant, wasn't he? He had him a little formula, you know, that formula that brought out what we spoke of the other day, the theory of relativity. You know, everything being relative one to another. The EMC that me and Richard was talking about the other day. See, that was a theory that was good. And that took his mind from a natural condition, as we would say, seemingly into something that was elevated above other men's thinking. But my, he looked like somebody playing with marbles.
Did you know Einstein, in comparison with the mind of Christ, why, he doesn't have the equivalence of Junior playing with Marvel. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And I'm not criticizing the man. I think he's great and mighty. But, beloved friend, how can some little finite body with his finite mind in this world down here have any comparison with the Son of God or with the great mighty mind of the Almighty God? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. What a thought. You know, he made a statement. Well, he spoke of his theory of relativity. He made the statement that energy was equal to matter, EM. Energy equal to matter. That's the way he spoke of it. Energy equal to matter. And then he spoke of light being squared, which he called the constant. See, energy equal to matter times the constant, which means light squared. That we go by the speed of light. See, when you get that all figured up and you break matter down into units as you would, figure up a little bit of it, my, it's tremendous when you think about energy. You know, think about potential energy, as we say, that's around us. But then when you stop and think that what he did was only a type of what God, the Eternal Spirit's doing in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just think what power there is in the nuclear weapons. We brought that out one night, the equivalence of this great power that they have in the nuclear order. We brought it out, going back to the light, you know. We broke it down in the rays of light. You remember the sermon, the gamma rays and all these things, as we run it through the spectrum and the rainbow and the different things? But just think tonight, we are the great light of God. Hallelujah. We are that is God that's made manifest in the earth. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. This morning I made the statement, John came down in this world. John forerun it, and then Jesus came down this world. And John said, I'm not that light, but I came to bear witness of that light. And Jesus stepped out and said, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Moses went down there. Moses said, God said, I don't know how to talk to Pharaoh. Said, what must I tell him? Said, just go down there and tell him I am sent you. Isn't that right? So he went down there and said, I am sent me. I am sent me. I am, I was, and I shall be. Jesus came over there, and the Bible said, when they come to get him in the garden, Judas betrayed him. And they looked over there at him. They wanted to take him. He said, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. I am he, Jesus said. When they started looking for the resurrection, he said, who is the resurrection? Where is the resurrection? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the light. I am the way. Hallelujah. I am the truth. The great I am. We see that. We see the light radiating coming through Jesus. The personification of God, the great body of the Son of God, walking in the earth and radiating, walking about saying, I am the light of the world. Oh my, can't you see that? Can't you understand what I'm saying in that? Jesus, a human being, a man walking in the world of darkness. Did you know that there was never any light in the world until Jesus came? How do you know that? I wish we had time to preach a sermon tonight. I really do. I wish we had time. Just go back to the garden and pick up there at the fall of mankind and preach a sermon. But folks, it's been a dark, dark night. Did you know that? It's been dark. And there wasn't any light in this world until Jesus stepped out from the portals of glory. Oh, hallelujah. When he stepped down here in the world, all aglow and all lit up. Walking around in this dark night. It's no wonder people just come to him by the thousands. They came to him because he was the only light in the earth. As he walked in the earth, and he said, children, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. I know you don't understand, but I'm the light of the world, he said. And as he walked around, then finally the time came for him to leave, and he said, Peter, James, and John, it's been so wonderful being with you. Oh, the Bible said he loved his own right down to the end. Is that right? The Bible said, you know, Jesus loves. Jesus is such a great lover. Jesus loved. So then Jesus said, I've had a wonderful time with you. But he said, I got to go back to my Father's house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I've walked among you, he said, and I've had a wonderful fellowship with you. But he said, I've got to go back to my Father's house. Isn't that right? Now he said, I'm the light of the world as long as I'm in the world. But he said, when I go away, then ye shall be the light of the world. Ye shall be the light of the world. Oh, children of God, we are the light of the world tonight. Have you believe that? We're the light of the world tonight. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. You know, I'm just getting started to preach, and I really am. But I guess I better stop right here. You've been listening to good, and I've been going a long time. But I enjoy the fellowship among the saints of God and talking about Jesus so much until I get so excited because it's so real to me. It is so wonderful. Praise God. You know, like I was telling my wife today, I was telling Betty and Frank and Dale, we was riding around some together, you know. I said, you know what? I said, I made up my mind. I said, I ain't going to die. I said, one reason is there's too much to be done for God to be dying. There's no profit in dying. How do you know that? Amen. And then I said, besides that, you have to lay there too long before you ever get up. There's so much we can do for God. We need to be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How do you know that death is the enemy of God? Amen. Jesus came that you might live, that you might have life and that more abundant. Hallelujah. That's what he's wanting you to do. Get your mind on living. Get your mind on doing something for God. Let's get together for Jesus. What's that song they sang about something good when the family of God gets together? I don't know just how it goes. I've heard them singing. Something good always happens. Oh, hallelujah. So wonderful to be a Christian. All right, let's stand together. Are you a wonderful audience? I appreciate talking with you. And I'd like to really got into something tonight because I saw that I was fixing to go in a direction where we was going to get into something and it was going to take a while before we could sign off tonight. Praise God. So we, after preaching like I did this morning, keeping as long as I did, thought maybe we'd give you a break tonight as far as us, you know. But remember, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Friend, let me ask you a question. Are you really trying to do the will of God? Are you trying to correct your life? Are you making any alterations? Are you manipulating in any place to change or try to conform to the image of God? Are you? Are you using for a power of ingenuity the Word of God to try to conform to His image and His desire? Are you just going down the road, just floundering here and there, not having any goal in life, not having any purpose in life? My, what a sad thought. You know, while you're young and while you're able and while you're strong, why not give your life to God? Yes, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember thy Creator. When the evil days draw not nigh, when you'll turn and look and say, I don't have any pleasure in those days. My, I wish I could change it. He said, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? The reaping days. Remember thy Creator in the days of your sowing before the reaping days come. When you'll turn and look back and say, my God, I wish I'd never sowed like that. Remember him now in the sowing days because there's going to come some reaping days. Be not deceived. Whatever you sow, beloved, that's what you're going to reap. Don't ever forget that. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. It'll always be like that. That's the way of God. Sow good seeds. We sang that song, "Bay, we sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, which is coming to each and every one. So we can rejoice on that day when we'll hear Jesus say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won." What a wonderful thought to be like Jesus. Brother Taylor sings that song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Let's sing a little chorus together. Jim, can you bring your little lady up? We'll go ahead and just pray and dedicate her. You know, this is really something.
this little girl, she's come to be with us. And as far as I know, you plan to stay with us. You're not planning to leave. As far as I know, you're going to stay. I think she is. She was telling Jimmy and them today, I believe, that she's going to stay with us. She likes it up here, and she decided that she's just going to make this her home and stay up here. Now, this is a beautiful little thing standing here. And she's come to live with Jimmy and the wife, and we want to dedicate her to God tonight. She's really happy up here. I want you to pray, you know, that God's will really be done in her little life, Jim and the wife's life, and concerning her and her welfare. Pray to that extent. While we pray for her, while we lay our hands on her, let's just pray together, can we? Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, tonight as we pray for this precious, darling little girl, oh God, we look away to heaven tonight. And Jesus, we understand of your grace and of your glory. Lord, that this little one tonight is given by the hand of God, that children are on heritage from God. And oh Father of heaven, as we ask forgiveness of our sins tonight, in the name of your darling Son, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, as we feel the mighty Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah, as we feel your Spirit, Jesus. May thy great and loving Spirit, Holy Father, oh, Ramanda Ramashaya, may thy Holy Spirit, thy lovely Spirit tonight, come down upon this little lady. May thy great Spirit, Holy Father, fill her little heart. God, we dedicate her tonight to thee. Lord, that you would watch over her. Dear God, that as she grows up, that she may have those to guide her, to bring her up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord Jesus. Father, that her enemies may be thine enemies, O God. All that would rise against her, Father, that you would rise against them to feed her whenever she's hungry. Father, to clothe her whenever she's in need. And dear God, when fear, Lord, when complex of life and anxieties build up, Lord, in the fears and frustrations, Lord, of this world, begin to compass her about as the billows of evil. Lord, try to come about her life. Lord, in the storm clouds gather over her little head. I pray in the name of Jesus that you, Lord, would dispel the gloom and move away the evil and bring the sunshine and radiance of your love, your consideration, O Holy Father. Lord, to bless her, to keep her, Lord, for we give her to thee as much as life within us, Lord, as the ability to give her to thee. Holy Father, we give her unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, you've given her to Jim, Lord, and this companion, Father. And Lord, they give her back unto thee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, it was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me. Can you sing it with me? Swing low, sweet chariot, it's coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, it's coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming to carry me home, tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low,
sweet chariot coming to carry me home. Don't you love Jesus? While they're playing this, and while we're singing once again, I wonder, would you like to step down to the altars a minute? Would you? Let's sing it again. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. If you get there before I do, coming to carry me home, tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing chariot coming for to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, it's coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, it's coming to carry me home. You know, Jesus is watching from the hilltops of glory tonight. He's looking down from the hilltops of glory tonight. He's watching every move you make. The old song they used to sing years ago, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you. Jesus never sleeps. The Bible said the shepherd that keeps Israel shall never slumber. Never sleep. Never sleep. He's always watching. When you are in despair and you're in trouble and when you're having problems and you don't understand, you think, well, oh God, you've forsaken me and you've left me. And Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm left all alone. I just can't make it, Lord. Everything is crumbling. Everything is falling in on me. Lord, help me. He'll raise his nail-scarred hands as he will do with Israel one day. And he'll say, I engraved you in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you. Though a mother may forsake her little child, I shall never forsake thee. For the Lord God of heaven that keeps Israel shall never slumber. Don't you love him tonight? Let's sing that little chorus. Sweep over my soul, can't we? Oh, there's peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from my Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in your fathomless billows of love. Lift your hands and sing it again, can you? Oh, there's peace. Oh, there's peace. What a wonderful peace. Coming down from my Father up above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in your fathomless billows of love. For without him, I can do nothing. For without him, I